Both sides of my family came from the Greco-Syrian community, the last Byzantine outpost in northern Syria, which included what is now called Lebanon. Note that the Byzantines called themselves Romans, Rumi, plural Rum, in the local languages. We originate from the olive-growing area at the base of Mount Lebanon. We chased the Maronite Christians into the mountains in the famous Battle of Amun, my ancestral village. Since the Arab invasion in the 7th century, we had been living in mercantile peace with the Muslims, with only some occasional harassment by the Lebanese Maronite Christians from the mountains. By some literally Byzantine arrangement between the Arab rulers and the Byzantine emperors, we managed to pay taxes to both sides and get protection from both. We thus managed to live in peace for more than a millennium, almost devoid of bloodshed. Our last true problem was the later troublemaking Crusaders, not the Muslim Arabs. The Arabs, who seemed interested only in warfare and poetry, and later the Ottoman Turks, who seemed only concerned with warfare and pleasure, left to us the uninteresting pursuit of commerce and the less dangerous one of scholarship, like the translation of Aramaic and Greek texts. By any standard, the country called Lebanon, to which we found ourselves suddenly incorporated after the fall of the Ottoman Empire in the early 20th century, appeared to be a stable paradise. It was also cut in a way to be predominantly Christian. People were suddenly brainwashed to believe in the nation-state as an entity. It is remarkable how fast and how effectively you can construct a nationality with a flag, a few speeches, and a national anthem. To this day, I avoid the label Lebanese, preferring the less restrictive Levantine designation. The Christians convinced themselves that they were at the origin and center of what is loosely called Western culture, yet with a window on the East. In a classical case of static thinking, nobody took into account the differentials in birth rate between communities, and it was assumed that a slight Christian majority would remain permanent. Levantines had been granted Roman citizenship, which allowed St. Paul, a Syrian, to travel freely through the ancient world. People felt connected to everything they felt was worth connecting to. The place was exceedingly open to the world, with a vastly sophisticated lifestyle, a prosperous economy, and temperate weather just like California, with snow-covered mountains jutting above the Mediterranean. It attracted a collection of spies, both Soviet and Western, prostitutes, blondes, writers, poets, drug dealers, adventurers, compulsive gamblers, tennis players, après-skiers, and merchants, all professions that complement one another. Many people acted as if they were in an old James Bond movie, or the days when playboys smoked, drank, and instead of going to the gym, cultivated relationships with good tailors. The main attribute of paradise was there. Cab drivers were said to be polite, though from what I remember, they were not polite to me. True, with hindsight, the place may appear more Elysian in the memory of people than it actually was. I was too young to taste the pleasures of the place, as I became a rebellious idealist and very early on developed an ascetic taste, averse to the ostentatious signaling of wealth, allergic to Levantine culture's overt pursuit of luxury and its obsession with things monetary. As a teenager, I could not wait to go settle in a metropolis with fewer James Bond types around. Yet I recall something that felt special in the intellectual air. I attended the French lycée that had one of the highest success rates for the French baccalauréat, the high school degree, even in the subject of the French language. French was spoken there with some purity. As in pre-revolutionary Russia, the Levantine Christian and Jewish patrician class, from Istanbul to Alexandria, spoke and wrote formal French as a language of distinction. The most privileged were sent to school in France, as both my grandfathers were, my paternal namesake in 1912 and my mother's father in 1929. 2,000 years earlier, by the same instinct of linguistic distinction, the snobbish Levantine patricians wrote in Greek, not the vernacular Aramaic. The New Testament was written in the bad local patrician Greek of our capital, Antioch, prompting Nietzsche to shout that God spoke bad Greek. And after Hellenism declined, they took up Arabic. So in addition to being called a paradise, the place was also said to be a miraculous crossroads of what are superficially tagged Eastern and Western cultures.